You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSC has closed its doors for another day, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow. Usually it's Viv Govender and David Shapiro, but David Shapiro is AWOL today, so Viv and I are going to soldier on and set the world to rights. It's getting messy in the States, isn't it, Viv? I mean, yesterday was quite astonishing what happened around about this time, actually.
Yeah. Look, the amazing thing was, you know, that rally that we saw after that, basically what would have been a week or two ago, what are the worst case scenarios in terms of outcomes for the tariffs? It just shows basically how kind of confused, how kind of, you know, stressed the market is at the moment, that even a reduction like what we saw come through yesterday in terms of this, the implementation and so on, was enough to submit what is, I think, one of the biggest rallies in history. You know, single day rallies, especially from the low of the day. But the day started, you know, not that great, but ended incredibly high. Today, we are not seeing the same kind of thing. We are seeing definitely profit taking. There's no other word for that. But also, I think that, you know, at the moment, the S&P right now down 3%, which in normal times would be a significantly negative day. But after what happened yesterday, it's just like, you know, a small correction coming through, a small consolidation or profit taking coming through.
I can't help feel that given the porous nature of the White House and this little closed club they've got, there must have been several individuals that made an absolute fortune on the way down and a massive fortune yesterday as well. And I know, you know, it seems too obvious, but often the things that are too obvious are indeed the case, Viv.
Yeah, look, I mean, this is actually, I don't know if this, you could call it a feature or a bug of the US system, in which I don't know about, like, you know, staff members, but politicians definitely, like congressmen, you know, Nancy Pelosi famously, if you follow Nancy Pelosi's trades, you're going to be making a fortune. She outperforms the market significantly because she often, you know, her husband buys and sells stuff that is, you know, seems to be quite closely correlated with stuff that his wife should have known in Congress because of senior position. There is this weird thing in the U.S. where politicians have this ability to trade. You know, amazing as it may seem, I think there's a restriction on, like, you know, on staff members. You know, that's why you often say cabinet members, etc., having to sell their you know, assets. But, you know, politicians in the U.S. Have this ability to basically go and buy and sell stuff. But here's the thing. I mean, Trump announced it, I think, a few hours before the actual thing by saying now is the time to buy. It's possible that some of his MAGA people basically got convinced by that and just bought. Because, he did announce it a few hours before he actually did the official announcement. That he didn't announce what he was going to do, but he just said, this is a great time to buy, effectively. And that might have been the strategy.
It's very
well.
Unusual. He can't keep himself to himself. He can't keep his mouth shut. Something pops into his head. He just wants to talk. He wants to tell people. He wants to be the hero. I mean, yesterday, well, after the rally, he said, and I found it a little bit offensive, actually. He said the biggest stock market rally in history. Firstly, that's incorrect. But, you know, everything that comes out of his mouth is often incorrect. But he said, OK, biggest stock market rally in history. And then he said, not bad, hey? I mean, he seems to have forgotten the previous 10 days or so where he wiped it all out and then brought it back up again. It was just a corrective rally, for goodness sake. I mean, here we are down again about 1.7% for the S&P. It's not over yet. I can't make any sense of it anymore, Viv. And I'm sure you, as a portfolio manager, can't as well. You have to try and just sort of focus on things like inflation coming down from 2.8% to 2.4% during the month of March in the United States of America, and wondering whether that's the last of the low inflation prints that we see. I'm sure that's what you do. You're probably one of those people that can put on blinkers and just forget about noisy stuff.
I don't know, actually, because like I said, I mean, it was a few while back, you know, when we were having all those, you know, a few years ago, remember, when we had everything was about the interest rate announcements, you know, what was the latest stimulus package from the ECB or the Fed, et cetera. And it didn't really matter what company news looks like. It didn't really matter what virtually anything else looked like. It was just all about the stimulus. At the moment, unfortunately, it's all about whatever Trump is thinking of on the day. Because, you know, as much as you might see a highest, you know, inflation number, and normally that will bring markets down a few percent, if Trump was to come out and says, oh, I better deal with everybody, and there's no more tariffs, and even China is going to get, you know, no tariffs as well, the market would rally so much, it would basically overwhelm any negative views that we would see. And coming to, like, you know, in terms of, like, his approach to this, I don't think this time around he cares so much what the stock market does. He cares more about the stock market is basically responding to whatever he does, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I think he's kind of very, I mean, think of it. He had this massive downturn over the last couple, you know, days, or end of the last week especially. And what does he do? He goes on a golfing, or to a golf competition and, and basically plays there and boasts about winning it. I think nothing, like, you know, tickles his ego more than the world burning while he was playing golf. You know what I mean?
And that's that's the other thing. That's what led me to believe that there might be some shenanigans going on, some naughtiness, some insider trading, in other words, because he was so calm all the time. He was calm about the market falling. And he said, I don't watch the stock market, famously, during the early stages of the rout. And I said to myself, yes, you do. You watch it every single day. It's important to you. But the reason you're so calm is because you're short the market, Mr. Trump. That was my first thought as a cynic. But then yesterday with the two-hour, you know, great time to buy story ahead of the 90-day pause, I mean, that was just outlandish to me.
Yeah.
Ah, well, yeah. He'll never be found out. And if he was found out, he'd just, sign something.
I'm not sure it's illegal. That's the thing. I am not sure that it's illegal because, like I said, there is this well-known tradition in the U.S. of politicians trading. I think it would be illegal if someone, like, for instance, the secretary, the treasury or something like that, the treasury secretary traded, or, you know, an official traded. But I'm not so certain what the rules around officials, like politicians trading are. Because, like I said, I mean, it's famously known that, you know, both the Democrats and Republicans have some of the world's best traders in Congress and the Senate. You know, if you look at the performance of, like I said, you know, some of these guys' portfolios on both sides of the aisle, these people would be the best traders in any investment bank in the world. And it's not because they're so smart. It's because they literally are using inside information. There were cases of people basically selling the market when COVID was breaking because they got briefed about it ahead of time. There's cases of people buying and selling, you know, things like Boeing and other, you know, arms manufacturers because they know which contract is being approved or not approved.
Yeah.
So this is a weird thing about the U.S. Trump would not be affected. I'm not so sure, but I mean, I don't think Trump would be affected. I think if there was other people in his administration that did it, they would be affected.
Interesting stuff. We'll never find out, of course. It's a closed shop. I'm not sure you're right when you said it's not illegal because it's a highly regulated industry in the United States, financial services. Okay, it's been undone a little bit by Trump, but the basic rules and regulations are there. And to profit from inside knowledge, I can't imagine that it's legal anywhere in the world. Anyway, let's have a look
Remember, the politicians write the rules and regulations. That's the thing you must understand. The politicians write the rules and regulations, and they have made how lax the trading rules are.
All right. Well, that's something, as I said, we'll never, ever find out unless some really, really, really assiduous journalist gets his teeth into it and won't let go like a savage dog. Let's have a look at some prices. Actually, before we do, what I'd like to ask you is, how have the Magnificent Seven stocks, the high-flying tech stocks, the ones that you favour, how have they behaved? Have they behaved predictably, or have they surprised you?
Look, I mean, Magnificent Seven have definitely been down. Year-to-date, they are some of the worst performing stocks on the market. And even if you look at, for instance, how badly the overall market has done, they've definitely done worse. So, for instance, there's a bet was put through, you know, the All In podcast, those guys, one of which is now the head of AI and crypto on the Trump administration.
Yeah.
One of them basically put a bet in at the start of the year on basically two things. Firstly, it was, I think, credit default swaps. Basically, he thought that credit default swaps would go up in value because, you know, risk in the market, which turned out to be very well. Apparently, he made a 700% return on that. And the other bet he put down was that the Magnificent Seven would fall to below 30% of the S&P 500, which it has done, showing that it's basically below where it was as a percentage of the market. So even though the market's fallen, the Magnificent Seven has fallen significantly more than that.
Interesting. I suppose you benefit on the upside, and they outperform, and on the downside, they underperform. So you've got to take the rough with the smooth, Viv, which I know you will. Okay, markets now. Dollar rand 1950, got close to 20 yesterday, and then this morning when I woke up, it was 1925. So it's weakened again. British pound against the rand is 25.28, and the euro rand is 21.79. It's the euro that has been taking the rand to the cleaners in the last couple of weeks, I must say. Euro dollar is now 111.70. I mean, that's a euro that's 2% higher against the greenback. British pound, 129.60, and that's a pound that's 1.1% better against the US dollar. Look at gold, for goodness sake, $3,158, $143 an ounce higher, or 4.75%. Unbelievable. Platinum, it's still in three figures. It's 938, which is up 1.6%. And palladium, 903, which is up 1%. Up, but really just an apologetic rally to me. Okay, let's have a look at some other commodities now, because I know that copper and things like that, having had a really, really torrid time, have done relatively well. Oil's off again. West Texas is down 1% to 61.75, and Brent crude 64.75. That's 1.1% weaker. Let me just refresh my screen. That's looking suspiciously quiet. Hold on. Yeah, I'm completely wrong. I thought it was. The West Texas price is down nearly 4% to 59.91, and Brent crude 63.27, down 3.4%. Natural gas down 7%. Gasoline down 3.8%. And so it goes on. The S&P 500 futures, eminently watchable. It's updating furiously here. It's now down 3.2% to 5,317, that one. The US 10-year Treasury bond yield, it's 4.35%, was below 4.30. So also just ticking higher, the yield there was in the mid-4.40s over the last couple of days. So that's also recovered somewhat, but also worsened since the best levels this morning. You see Bitcoin all over the place. It's was about 7-8% higher earlier on today. It's now up just under 5% to just under 81,000. That's about it, really. I want to have a look at some of the movers on the JSE, which I'd normally get David to do, but I'm going to do it because there's been some staggering moves, Viv. Let me just refresh that one as well. While I'm doing that, have you noticed the volume on the JSE?
And I can do the fallers, quite frankly, the easiest job in the world today. There's only a couple of fallers in the market at the moment, and the rises on that thing is basically, Sibanye, 12% effectively, Harmony 11% almost, yeah. Goldfield 9%, DRD 9%, Anglo South 32%. It's all these miners, gold miners especially, Sibanye, like I told you, but the one thing I think is going to change probably is Sasol, which is up almost 10%.
And you think that's going to succumb to the lower oil price? Obviously, yeah.
And the stronger round as well.
Okay, let me have a look at this one. I'll give you mine. Alphamin, 17.4% higher. Sibanye, you mentioned it, 11.4% to the good. Harmony, 10.5% up. African Rainbow Minerals, 9.4% higher. On the downside, we had results out from Life Healthcare today, but there's normally five of the big stocks on the downside, and I've just been fiddling with my screen, and I suddenly realise there's only two down, one of which is Life Healthcare, down 0.2%. And if we have a look now at the indices, I can't remember seeing a day like this, actually. I honestly can't remember seeing a day where the percentages are so robust across the board. And I would imagine the auction is still going on, because, Viv, I don't know if you've managed to catch the sort of volume going through the JSE in the last few days. It's been 40 billion plus most of the time, which is unheard of outside of futures closeout and index rejigging. But anyway, that's what it's been. I'd love to see what it was today, but I don't have the facility. I've got the resources up 8.25%. Never seen that before. Industrials, 2.6% higher. Financials, after a bad day a couple of days ago, 4.2% up. And what else have we got? The top 40 index, a 4.5% winner to 79,067. And the all share itself, 86,002, up 4.25%. These are interesting times. I mean, I'd like them to be a little less interesting in a couple of weeks' time. Otherwise, we'll all be carried out with this one. But do you see it happening? Do you see the 90 days, you know, providing some sort of solace to the market? Or do you just think it's going to carry on and there'll be various pronouncements depending on the mood that Trump wakes up with?
90 days. 90 days is pretty much the same amount of time from the time he was elected to now. Do you know that?
Yeah. It's a long time.
From the inauguration to now, it's not that far off. So it's not even 3 months at the moment. So it's under 90 days at the moment. So I do think that, you know, if you look at what the next 4 years is going to hold for us, like, again, what you're dealing with is a narcissist. And the motivations he has are not the motivations you would think he has. I'm not so sure it's all about money. I think he's basically... likes the attention. He likes the power. He likes to have the ability for when he does whatever he does for, like, the big, like, you know, people out there to cover, you know, kind of like, you know, bow before the throne, effectively. And I think that's what is driving this more than, you know, he's trying to basically fool around the market. He just wants to get a few more zeros on his bank account. I do think this is a case where he really is enjoying this power out there. And the next thing to understand as well is that there are actually people in his administration who are, you know, considered to be crankish, but, you know, even cranks have a philosophy. It's worth looking at what their philosophy is. There is a belief that, look, if they can raise, and they're talking about $700 billion in terms of tariffs per year, if they can get that money coming in, that will give them the ability to go out and drop the income tax for anyone making, I think, $150,000 a year to zero. And that's the thing that they've been arguing for. Now, let me tell you something. If they can do this, if they can somehow raise, you know, $600 billion and even drop the income tax, if you're making $100,000 to zero, you're looking at people who are going to be basically petitioning for the third Trump administration. I'm not even joking about that. If you can do this, I'm saying this is the plan. This is the idea of the philosophy. I don't think it'll be possible, but I think this is the philosophy he's doing, and that is the idea behind all the stuff. At least from an economics point of view. Personally, I think he also, like I said, just likes the chaos. But there are people backing him that are under this belief that they can get a few hundred billion dollars, like I said, $500 to $700 billion. And $500 to $700 billion would be equivalent to the income raised by the IRS of people making $150,000 to $100,000 a year.
Gosh, what a gesture that would be, Viv. What an incredible gesture, because he always goes on. He knows a little bit of history because it's plonked in front of him and he's told to read it. He said it was, he documented when income tax, when the funding of the country was suddenly put onto the man and woman in the street. And he said, no, this is wrong. So you're quite right. He's looking at it. I can't see it happening. The ramifications and the bureaucracy and the untangling that would have to be done, I just think it's just too much, but it's a lovely idea.
Yeah, but obviously, that's a philosophy, and that is what he's aiming for. And so I think that from his point of view, it's like, oh, I know the secret to how this is going to turn out. It's all going to turn like Greek. If you're not believing me, what's the word he used? You're a panican.
It's a panican, yes. Where did that come from?
I have no idea. but it was funny as hell, but a panican. And then he explains it as people that are stupid and like cowardly or something. Yeah. But anyway,
stupid is another word that was used when describing a panican. Yes.
Panican, But I see this is the philosophy. And so I don't know if this wasn't enough to get to derail this fear. If he's going to come out and he's going to basically try and do this, I'm pretty sure, until something stops him. Okay, and the thing that stops you might be the bond market, but the bond market, I don't know if you've seen the behavior. I know you follow it a lot.
Yes,
has been extremely weird, right?
Yeah, it's completely as said. Okay, all our relationships that you got used to over the decades out the window.
Yeah, but you see the move. It went first initially when the stuff came out, like, you know, a few days ago. It went down from about say 1440 down to about under 4.
Yes.
And then a couple of days ago, it started rallying again. Now it's back to about 4.35.
Yes.
So pretty much where it was before. And again, no, this is, again, to you understand, this is also a belief that these people have. They say if they cut a percent of the U.S. Interest rate, okay, that is equivalent to about $300 billion a year in savings in terms of interest payments.
Yes, servicing debt, in other words.
Yeah, and again, if you can cut the interest rate for the U.S. down to, like, say, like from 4 to maybe 3, which is not that far away from where it was just a little while ago, again, this is all money that they are saving and could theoretically pump back into these lower income people. And look at it, like I said, this kind of stuff, if it does do it, and I'm going to say, this is one of those, like, those chess moves that if you want to see it, and you see if it does come through, forget about the midterms. You would have a red sweep across the entire board next year. Hmm. If next year no American below $150,000 or even $100,000 paid income tax, you know, $70,000 I think is above the minimum wage. It's above the medium income in the U.S. So if you have even, like, you know, $100,000 is quite a high number. So if you can cut, like, you know, like a significant chunk of the people below minimum, below the medium, of their income tax, I would almost certainly guarantee a red wave. Again, assuming the world doesn't, like, you know, adjust the way, because this is not a case of you can just do what you want to do and the world won't react. Right now, we are seeing reaction from the Chinese and from the Europeans. But like I said, there is a plan. I don't know if it's going to be successful, but it is a very brave, very, you know, audacious plan, if you say that.
Yeah. You don't associate Trump with plans, but maybe you're right this time.
No, it's not, sir.
Maybe
he
said, this is what I want, and he hands it over to experts. He's not prone to do that. But maybe this time he will. Maybe he's mellowing. No, don't be silly, Lindsay. That's a very, very stupid thing to say. Viv, thank you very much for your time this evening. And we'll speak again next Thursday. Who knows where the S&P will be? Actually, let's have a little bet here. I've got my S&P futures here now, Vivian, at 5,000. I've got the futures at 5,330. So you've got 5,000 what on the spot?
On the spot, 5,260.
5,260. Okay, where's it going to be in a week's time? Closest wins absolutely nothing except for the pride of the program.
I would think basically by next week it would probably be at least a couple hundred points lower than this.
Okay, so you're saying that? Yeah, I still think 5,000 is a pivotal point. It was orbiting that just before Trump said the pause, and up we went yesterday. So 5,260, yeah. You say down to 5,060. I say we'll be 49.50. So there we go. We'll check next week. Viv, thank you very much indeed. Viv Govender is from Rand Swiss in Johannesburg. And that was the 5 o'clock shadow. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.